to God. We continue our series entitled The Center of My Life. And the title of today's message is The Purpose of Prayer. And we've been asking this question through this series, what is at the center of your life? If you had to strip everything away and you went right to the very core of your heart, what would be there? What lives at the center of your heart? You know, when I think about a new year, I think about a new beginning. And one of the things that's very clear about a new year, we have the ability to bring into that new year whatever we choose to bring into that new year. You've heard it said before, New Year's resolution. I'm going to do things different this year. And something about the beginning gives us hope. But what is it that we bring with us from 2020 that God wants us to say, leave it in the past? Don't carry it with you. What does God really desire to live at the center of your heart, at the center of my heart? We see in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, we see what is in us is not hidden. What lives in the center of our heart is something that is exposed truly to God, but also to others. And one of the ways that we can see what lives inside is found in this verse. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in what? His heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, I find this interesting. God tells us there's none good, right? The only one that is good is God. So here we're presented with the scripture about having a good heart, having things of goodness that live inside us, and we know goodness belongs only to God. So if good is going to overcome the evil of our fallen nature, there's one source to provide that good, and that is God. Only God can overcome evil. We can't. So no matter how we look at 2021 and think, I'm going to do better this year, the only way we will do better is to grow closer to God. See, only the renewal of the Holy Spirit daily in our lives will fill our heart with goodness. This title of the message, this title of this message today is The Purpose of Prayer, because prayer will change what lives within us. Prayer will change that which is at the core of our soul. The mouth and the mind tell the content within. See, it's not only the communication of the mouth that presents what lives inside, but it's our thoughts tell us truly what is at the core of our soul, because what we have before us until the last breath leaves our body, we have the ability to build a beautiful soul. Do you know how glorious that is to be given the opportunity to let God place within you a beautiful soul? We talked about it last week. So much of our world is built on the outside. You know, we got to look good. We got to look good. We got to be in good shape. We got to present and be attractive on the outside. But we know this, regardless of how hard we try, the outside is what? It's fading. It's getting old. But that should not discourage us, because that which matters the most is our soul. And God allows us to build a beautiful soul through the power of His Holy Spirit within. You know it. You've encountered beautiful souls in your life. And when that person you encounter, you're not thinking about what they're wearing, how attractive they are. You're just blessed because their soul is beautiful, because it is filled with the power of God within. All of us here, as we move into 2021, can see our soul enhanced. And we talked about this last week, the geode, that rock that looks just so plain on the outside, but somebody got smart and looked inside, and that beauty was within. To me, this is a reminder of where beauty lives. It doesn't live on the outside in the sense that is where the value is. The value is within. Now, in our lives, how much does the soul really matter? The center of our life, how do we know again what God desires to live there? And so we've been looking at signs of our center, and we see this when Jesus is the center of our life, we will be faithful in prayer. Can you think of two things that are under any greater attack in the life of a Christian than prayer and spending time communicating to God through reading His Word? Now, I don't know about you, but two things in my life that has been under attack ever since I became a believer is distractions about being in the Word and distractions about being in prayer. And I believe this. I don't think there's a Christian alive that hasn't felt the attack of making prayer a priority and making the Word of God a priority. Because the enemy's smart. The enemy knows for you and I to have that beautiful soul, those are two avenues where the Holy Spirit teams in us to bring about God's beauty within. So in 2020, where did God's Word sit in the level of importance in our lives? And in 2020, where did prayer sit in importance in our lives? And is the placement of those priorities worthy enough to carry in to 2021? Because we know this, if Christ is at the center, Romans 12:12 gives us a clear understanding of when Christ is at the center, what the fruit will be. Be joyful in hope. If Christ is at the center of our hearts, is at the core of our soul, we will be joyful in hope. For when the Holy Spirit comes and encourages, He always brings the power and the strength of joy, and He always preserves hope within us. If Jesus is at the center of our heart, we will be patient in affliction. Because affliction is part of the temperature that rises in life so that the molding and the purposes of God will be enacted. And nothing will show the clarity of who we trust in more than our actions when life turns in ways that we have not chosen. Affliction. And we talked about that last week. But another aspect, if Christ is at the center of our heart, building that beautiful soul within us, we will be faithful in prayer. You know, when I say that, and I'm just being honest, prayer. What comes to your mind? Prayer. Sometimes the envisioning of prayer is a very pious situation. It's a position. It's a consistency. But what is at the heart of prayer? What is the purpose of prayer? And I think one of the first things that we can look at is this. Why do you pray? That's a fair question to ask. Why do we pray? There's some responses to that. But also this, why does God command us to pray? God does not waste our actions. God does not give commands without tremendous purpose. But what is the purpose of prayer? For some, and I think we've all been there, and these are multiple reasons. But is it because I need something from God? I'll pray when what? I need something from God. There's nothing wrong with that. But is that at the core of why we pray? Because I need something from God. Or we could take it a little further. Is it because I want something from God? Is prayer kind of like a vending machine? I want a Coke, or I want one of those snacks, so I got to take that coin. Nowadays, I guess they still use coins. Or that card, and I place it there, and then I hit the right button, and then what I want comes out. Is that the reason why we pray? Because we need something, or because we want something? Another reason, do I pray because I want to prove something to God? Because we know this, faithful people do what? Pray. People that walk in right steps with God pray. And is my intentions to pray truly motivated by my desire to prove something to God? Because we know sometimes it is an act that's seated in somehow winning favor with God. What is the purpose of prayer? Is it to prove something to God? And let's be honest. Is it because I want to prove something to man? I want man to know how godly I am, so I'm going to let them know how much I pray. I heard a story, about a week ago, talking to a friend of mine I went to Bible college with, and he was telling me about a professor that got in a little bit of trouble, that a student in his class just said, he says, I pray 2 hours every day. That's what he said in class. You know what the professor said? No, you don't. That's what the professor said. And the guy said, yeah, I do. I pray 2 hours a day. He says, no, you don't. And now, who was that professor to judge that student? But why would the professor even say that? Now, I believe, I don't know the guy, I don't know the situation, but probably he did pray 2 hours a day. But the professor in his mind was like, are you just trying to look pious or to look holy? Are you trying to prove something to me as your professor that you are so holy? The professor got in a lot of trouble for that. But how many people in that class were thinking that? What is the purpose of prayer? What is the purpose of prayer? At the very core, why does God command that we pray? And at the very core of the purpose of prayer, because it covers many purposes, but at the very core is this. Prayer is the path that grows our relationship with God. See, prayer equals a relationship with God. Psalm 145:18 tells us this. Why does God want us to pray? Why would he command us to be mindful that we need to pray? The Lord is near to all who, what? Call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The very command of prayer reminds us of where God wants our connection to be with him. He does not want a dormant relationship. God wants an active relationship with us. Isn't that not something to rejoice in? God wants a relationship that is built on communication, not distance. Yet, we can form a life of faith that does not consistently pray. And that should trouble us because it troubles God. Now, let me just bring it home a little bit. What happens when you're at home on your laptop, or you're using your smartphone, and the Wi-Fi goes out? Ooh, I have what? No connection. All of a sudden, blood pressure goes up. I got to get what? My connection. I mean, if we're honest, when the internet goes out, the tension, what, can arise. Not in everybody, but in a lot of people. You're on that cell phone, the cell connect fades. What's up? I'm not what? Connected. It becomes an issue. Call and text support. There's something wrong. Do we arise to concern when we find patterns of prayerlessness in our walk of faith with Jesus Christ? Prayer builds a relationship with God. Prayer is an active connection to the one who wants to be near you. God will not force himself upon us, but you better believe the Lord is near to all who what? Call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Well, we saw it. Jesus got on the Pharisees. He says, Pharisees, you know, you're wasting your energy for the purpose of praying so that you can be seen by men. That does you no good, because your purpose is not connecting to God. It's connecting to your pride of looking super religious. It's wasted. But when you pray, lock away, get alone with me. Let your prayer be personal to me. Direct messaging to me. Then the relationship will form and grow in my design. Because the purpose of prayer is not to build our religious ego. The purpose of prayer is to build that relationship with Jesus Christ. No prayer equals a dormant relationship with God. The consequence of not being filled with the mindful heart of prayer is a broken relationship with God, because we know this. Every solid relationship is built on communication. When communication dies, the relationship begins to falter. Prayer encompasses, though, every aspect of our life. In fact, the type of prayer that God wants us to be involved in is prayer that covers every aspect of our journey on this earth. For some, when I say prayer, they just think about a slice of time set aside to pray. And then that's it. That is part of prayer. That is a very strong part of prayer, but it goes beyond that. Prayer encompasses, again, all parts of our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us the whole story. Pray without ceasing. How does God want us to relate to Him? Without ceasing. So how do you do that? How is prayer spread out through every aspect of our life? How can prayer continue without ceasing? Is that impossible? Why would God place that upon us if it was not possible? And what does that really look like? When Christ is at the center of our lives, we will pray without ceasing. See, the mind of Christ is a mind of prayer. Let me say that again. We are called to have the mind of Jesus. And to have the mind of Jesus is to have a mind that is a mind of prayer, communicating, connected to God, always online, never crashing, but always in connection. Again, I hate to go back to the internet thing, but we know when those bars are listed on our phone. We see it, and it kind of gives us a little bit of comfort. Oh, yeah, I'm connected. The mind of Christ is a mind that is connected to God, but not just at a distance, but He has placed His Holy Spirit within us to aid our prayer and to keep that connection strong. In our church family devotion, we've been walking through the book of Jude, and today's study was in verse 20, reminded us of this tremendous opportunity. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. The devotion went on to say this. Do we treat our faith as precious and as honoring and as holy as it really is? Or is it something that is simply overlooked? Here we see the command is this: build that holy faith that has been entrusted to you. Not everybody gets it. But if you have placed your trust in Jesus, that faith is now in your possession as a foundation to build upon. And if it is not perceived as something that is of divine origin, of a holy, honorable, entrusting gift, it will be neglected and not built upon. And we see here in Jude, how is it built? How is that faith built? It is built by praying in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? To pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm Pentecostal. I know about that prayer language of praying in tongues. Not ashamed of that at all. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Prayer is not a solo activity. When you pray with the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit in you, lifting up those prayers unto the throne of God. So if I pray in myself, my prayers will not be consistent. But if I pray in the Holy Spirit, then that opens up the door of that prayer without ceasing. Prayer that is powerful, that is effective, that changes first who I am so that it can change the environment around me through God's power. Because our prayers are lifted up not simply by man, they're lifted up by the leading of the Holy Ghost within. So, Lord, I want to relate to you. Lord, I want this relationship to grow, then pray without ceasing. It's not just about what I need in the sense of this is a problem, I need it fixed. It's not just about times of just want. It's about building that holy faith that is entrusted to us, that turns who we are inside into the beautiful soul that God has intended us to be. When we pray, we release the liberty of the Holy Spirit within us, meaning we give freedom to where our self-will can hinder where the Spirit wants to take us. They call it grieving the Holy Spirit. Prayer with and in the Holy Spirit takes us to the places that God has designed for us. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. We never pray alone. We pray in the Holy Spirit. Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, in a relationship with the Spirit of Christ that lives in us. Could this be the reason why prayer is so difficult in our lives? Could it be that the Helper, the Comforter that Christ has given us, we are refusing to communicate with? And we get into these rhythms and patterns and these habits that become the norm of who we are in our faith. Is that what Christ wants us to take into 2021? He wants us to enter 2021 understanding how to pray in the Holy Spirit. For when Jesus is the center of our life, we will be faithful in prayer. Build, guard, honor your most holy faith. When Christ is in the center of our lives, we look at this scripture again. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. If 2021 is more of a challenge than 2020. This is what God wants at the core of our life. This is the fruit of a beautiful soul that will not be overcome by days that arise with persecution and affliction and trials and tribulation. And this is not within your power, for you are destined to be the builder that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. For the hope of the Lord is not at a distance. It lives within us, the hope of glory. patient in affliction. There is no trial that will come that will overwhelm the Holy Spirit that lives in you. None. Unless we set down the instruments of building and pick up the instruments of destruction in faithful in prayer, regardless of what comes, because we do not walk alone. We walk with the very presence of God's Spirit alive in us. The mind of Christ is the mind that consistently communicates to Christ. Throughout your day, invite his thoughts within. Throughout your day, talk to him about what you are feeling, what you're going through, even to the point maybe what you're not feeling. Talk to God about it and see what he will do. And as you hear that voice becomes more and more clear as you build that relationship that he has offered to you. I'm going to ask if we could stand to our feet this morning as we pray and invite the liberty of God into 2021 in and through our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a new year. Thank you for trusting us, Lord, no matter how many days in 2021. Thank you for entrusting us with a new year. And may we apply it, Lord, in the strength and in the wisdom and in the power of God Almighty. For those called of Christ are his light, his salt upon this earth, and people need the hope of God that lives within you. Lord Jesus, we honor you and we say, make us joyful in hope. In the name of Jesus, the enemies that war against our joy are not greater than the strength of God that lives in us. We say, hope. Hope, arise, for our destiny is so beyond this earth and this time and just in this body, Lord. We have eternal glory, hope of glory, all eternity to serve and to love and to honor you. And Jesus, the affliction that has entered hearts and lives this year, we thank you for the testimony of standing in your patience and enduring. Lord, we thank you. Lord, in the events that we didn't ask for, but as they've come, you have been faithful to not abandon us. And we pray strength right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we want to say a special prayer this morning for Jack Lehman. God, a faithful servant who has trusted you, who has served you, that has kept that countenance of Christ through all the many, through the many things that have come against him. We lift up Liz to you, Lord, that faithful helpmate that you teamed in his life. We pray peace and strength upon the family, Lord, and encouragement to come. In the name of Jesus.